today, literally 4 hours before I drove over to WABE to say these words into this microphone, I hit send on Origin Story, turning my book in officially to my editor at William Morrow. And that means it is really, really done. It was due a month ago. And you know what? I'm a deadline-oriented person. I hate to be late. I'm almost never late. I'm the person that if you invite me for dinner and you mean 8:15, you need to say 8:15. Because if you say 8 o'clock at 7:59 while your hair is wet and your husband is just starting to put that cheese platter together, I'm going to be on your doorstep. In my defense, I will say that this book was not finished late. I finished it on time. I found my way to the last scene, the last image. I typed the last sentence. It's not like in the movies, you know, where the novelist types the words, the end, and rips the page out of the typewriter and bangs it down on a big stack of other pages and smacks the pile triumphantly. Really, I just hit save, I closed my file, and I knew that even though it was finished, I wasn't done. It was deadline day. I had a whole book. It had a beginning, a middle, and the right end, but I wasn't proud of it. I knew I was shying away from writing the painful or controversial parts in quite a few scenes. I was hiding from some of the work. And you know, part of me just said, turn it in. Just turn it in. This is why God made editors. Emily and you can do it later. You'll get it where it needs to be. But I just couldn't make myself do it. First of all, because I'm a control freak. And second of all, because if I had turned it in, the publication wheels would have started and I would have been on a timer. And I don't ever want a book I'm not proud of, a book I don't love, to come out under my name because I lost control of it too early. And I knew what needed to happen anyway. I could see the book I wanted it to be floating in some flabby, obfuscating, apologetic, weaselly scenes. I shied very hard away from the parts that scared me. And you know what? Those happen to be the parts that matter the most in this book. It's funny how it always seems to work like that. For me, this is my greatest challenge as a novelist, to be brave, to write into what makes me uncomfortable. And it's always been this way. Part of it is just being Southern. I ran into this with the very first novel I had published, Gods in Alabama. If you haven't read Gods in Alabama, it's the story of a young woman named Arlene who makes a deal with God. It's a pretty good deal for God, 3 for 1. Arlene says she will never tell another lie. She'll stop sleeping with every boy she meets, and she'll never set foot back in the state of Alabama. And all God has to do is keep the body of the man she killed hidden. And so when you begin a book with that premise, right, it can't start until God breaks that deal. And then once the deal is broken, there's got to be some lying. We're going to head to Alabama, and there darn well better be some fornicating. So I'm writing this book. I'm drafting it. We're lying. She's lying up a storm. She's in a car with her boyfriend pointed toward Alabama. We're getting pretty close to the state line, and I know we're here. There's got to be some fornicating. And, you know, she's had this very spotted past. And in her present, she's really trying to live a good life. She's a celibate. She's working toward her own redemption. And I thought about my mother and my family and my church reading all these parts from her past that were pretty ribald. And I just couldn't do it. In the draft, I stopped the whole book. I had them leave the highway and drive all the way kind of around and through to Florida, where they got married and they had sex that was approved of by the United States of America and the Lord. And then they drove back to where I had left the book sitting, and I let them continue on down to Alabama. And when I sent that draft to my writing partner, novelist Lydia Netzer, she left this message on my phone. I'll never forget. It said, "Oh, you coward. You coward. How could you do this? You know what you have to do. You're so worried about saying the scary things that you've sent them to Florida. There's 10,000 words that have no business being in that novel. Cut them out. Get them off the highway. Send them to a Hilton and get them fornicating. Lydia is from Detroit. She did not say fornicating. But she was right. She was right. And so I had to go back in, cut out 10,000 words, and write the hard scene, the embarrassing scene, the scene that scared me. And this has happened with almost every book. At some point, I'll hit the place where I begin to feel discomfort, and I have to go back and do a big edit that hits structure and plot, where I lean into all the things that are scaring me. You know, I think one of the blessings of this being my 10th novel is that at this point, I often catch myself and I say, no, be braver than that to myself. So I didn't turn the book in until today, when I was proud of it. Oh, here's some nostalgia, ATL. On July 30th, 2016, Saturday, 8 p.m., at the Barnes & Noble Booksellers in Buckhead, there's going to be a Harry Potter countdown to midnight party. Remember those? Every time a new Harry Potter came out. This time is for the release of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, Parts 1 and 2. That's the rehearsal edition of the script for the play that's now running in London's West End. It goes on sale 7:31 at midnight. And Buckhead Barnes & Noble says they're going to feature a special muggle wall where customers can share their favorite memories of Harry Potter and amazing giveaways and plenty of fun activities for the whole family. For WABE, I'm Jocelyn Jackson. Thank you.